Be with you all. I encourage you to take hold of your Bibles and turn to the book of Psalms. We're going to start there. That'll be a good introduction passage for us this morning. Appreciate the invite. I express my appreciation to the elders and for their confidence in inviting me to come and preach the Word of God this week to you all. And my wife and I, Debbie, myself, are looking forward to getting to know you good brethren here. We've been roughly in this area for the last 2 years. Been able to get down during your singing to get to know a few of you, but we're truly looking forward to the week. Psalm 119, I should have told you which one, it's 150 chapters, where do you want us to go? Okay, so Psalm 119, it's a good way to start off this meeting, a meeting in particular. Look at verse 97, my favorite text in Psalm 119, look at verse 97 beginning. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Doesn't that describe us, a love that we have for the Word of God? The fact that we've set a week aside to feed on the Scriptures. Obviously, that is a testament of the desire that you have to feed on the Word of God. It's all about that. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing the Word. So if we're going to increase our faith, let's get into the Word. Let's study the Word. And that's what we're going to do this week. And I can be confident I'm not going to tell you anything that you haven't heard already before. But just, I love the old saying, the old term of revival for a gospel meeting. To revive us. Just give us a shot in the arm. Because I know when I finish up meetings, I'm the one that gets the shot in the arm. So let's go ahead and get started on what we're going to be talking about in our Bible study this morning. And you saw the flyer. We're going to talk about the good news about the good news. Everybody likes good news. It's the bottom line. When somebody says to me, Chuck, I got some good news and I got some bad news. What do you want to hear first? Give me the good news. I want to hear some good news. But when you consider the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, people think, really? It's good news? It's all about sin and temptation and the punishment that is there. It's all part of that. But really, when I think about good news, we want to share that. When somebody has good news, not only are we commanded, look at Mark 16:50, go. I like that. Go. I tell young preachers, you know, you want to help people learn the gospel. You don't want to sit in your office and just wait for people to come to you. You know, I could do that. I could sit at home and just wait. You know, wait for people to come. Or go to Churchville and just wait for people to come. Wait a minute, no. Go to them. Go. And that's what they were commissioned to do. Go into all the world. And that's what you guys were doing this week. I saw the flyer. You know, and you're inviting people. You got a sign out there. You're asking people, come on, your friends and your neighbors, come on. And let's study together. Let's learn. And of course, what's so cool about inviting people to a gospel meeting is you're inviting them to hear some good news. Because there's a lot of bad stuff out there. Man, I don't like giving bad news. Len knows who Bruce Hall was, is. But Bruce Hall passed away. Labored with me up in Toronto, Canada. 34 years old, two little kids. All of a sudden, just died. Out riding his bike. Sat in the curb, just fell over dead. Toronto's kind of like New York City. Everybody spread out. I had to call every one of those members. Screaming, yelling, crying. When I had to give them the news. That was not a happy moment. Giving people that kind of news. But when we're talking about the gospel, the reason why it's called the good news is for a lot of reasons. And so what we're going to do, got a number of points we're going to go through rather quickly here today. What's so good about the gospel? What's so good about this good news? You know, if I were to tell you, you know, I've got some good news. What's some good news? We're going to go to the dump today. Well, what's so good about that? See, strange illustration, but the point is, people might wonder, what's so good about the good news? Is it really good? Well, here's some of the reasons why the good news is good. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1 as we look at the first one. It's good news because this word that we have here cannot be destroyed. It can't be destroyed. People have been trying to destroy. A friend of mine who preached up in Canada went to a Bible study one time, and the lady said, "That's not in my Bible." And he said, "Ma'am, I'm sure it is." So he took the Bible, and she had cut it out. It was not in her Bible. But see, that didn't destroy it, did it? That didn't destroy the Word of God. So 1 Peter chapter 1, I like beginning reading verse 22. It says, "Since you have purified your souls and obeying the truth, through the Spirit and the sincere love of the brethren, love one another with a fervent and pure heart, having been born again," here it is, "not of corruptible seed, but the incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all glory of man, and the flower of the grass, and the grass withers, but the flower falls away. But the Word of the Lord endures forever." Now this is the word which by which the gospel was preached to you. The gospel. It's good news. And what's so good about it? You can't destroy it. Now, I love going back. I'm not going to take the time right now. But if you'll go back to Jeremiah 36, that whole chapter, but verse 27 and 28 is basically, well, you know, here's this king of Judah. He didn't like what he was hearing. Takes the scroll, throws it in the fire, burns it up. And then the prophet is told, "Take another scroll, write my words down again." You know what? Man is not going to get away with destroying my word. And that's what I love when I talk to people about inspiration. You know, can you prove that the Bible is the inspired word of God? Absolutely. It's another study, of course. But the point is, God made sure his word was preserved. And the good news that we have today cannot be destroyed. It's kind of like Matthew chapter 5. We all know the Sermon on the Mount. We all know how our Lord is wanting us to live in this world of darkness, okay? But in chapter 5, verses 13 through 15, "You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? Is then good for nothing to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men? You're the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket." Wait a minute, think about that. Don't light a lamp and put it under a basket. Well, what happens when you put that light under a basket? If you were to peek in that basket, it's still lit up in there. See, you can't destroy it. You can't destroy light. You know, you think of all the darkness, the caves that, you know, I see on the signs driving down here. I forget the name of the caves. I know it starts with an M. But, you know, these caves, you know, there's some caves out there that are so dark, you cannot see the hand in front of you. But if you light a match, all that darkness cannot put out that light. And I like that concept because the Word of God is that light for the world to hear. And it has not been destroyed. You can ignore it, of course. People can be in a cave and close their eyes and say, "I don't see that light." Well, yeah, you can do that. But man has not been successful in destroying that Word. And so that's what I love about the good news. That it's always going to be there. And guys like Len and myself, you know, we won't start talking age here. You know, we knew each other when our kids were really small. Now our kids have kids. That's about as far as we're going to go. But the point is, we've been preaching for a long time, but you know what? 40 years ago, I'm preaching the same message. Same. And those who lived before me, and those who lived before us. You know, since this commission was given to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, that we've noticed there in Matthew chapter, Mark 16:15, message hasn't changed. But here's what's really cool. It's good news for you. I had a preacher friend call me up one time and said, "Chuck, I'm getting $600 back. I made a mistake on my taxes." I went, "Well, good for you." I called him up a week later. "Guess what? I made a mistake. I'm getting $1,000. And so, you know, as happy as I was for him, I was even more happy for myself because now it's my good news. That was your good news. And of course we share that. We share good news with other people. We know that from this thing bouncing all over. Let me get in another pocket. We know that's true because of over there in Matthew chapter 12, we rejoice with those that rejoice. And so I was truly happy. I didn't sit there and go, great, you got $600. No, I was happy for him. But then you turned around and get some good news. But when it comes to the gospel, this is why, you know, we look forward to having visitors. This is why we enjoy going and talking to people about the gospel. Because they don't realize that this news that we want to share is for them. Yes, it's for us too. We're going to be built up this week. We want to be edified. But we want to share this good news. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. We want to share this good news because they need to take it. We need to take it personally. You know, these religious groups that are around us and say that, you know, if you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and I'm sitting there going, well, wait a minute, of course I'm going to take that personally, because Jesus came for the whole world, and I'm part of the world, and of course I'm going to take that personally. When it comes to the gospel message that we have here, it's for me. It's something that you can take to heart. And if we don't, then we're missing out. We sit back and say, well, it's good for everybody else that around me here in this audience, but it really isn't for me. Yes, it is. That's why we want people to listen up. I've got some good news for you. That's what's so great about the gospel. He mentioned Colossians chapter 1. Begin at verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is for you. He's talking to the brethren at Colossae. He's telling the brethren, you take this personally, this gospel that you received. 2 Thessalonians 2:14 tells us how that we are called. We are all called by the gospel. So listen, this is why we want people to listen to the Lord. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, the Lord says. Why? Because it's for them. And so we're not going to keep it to ourselves. That's why you're having a gospel meeting. Not only to edify the brethren here, but you know what? We want to help the lost, don't we? We want people saved. You know, we have this weekly TV program. And we're just trying to stir things up and provoke people to think, because we want them to know that you can think for yourself, because this gospel message that was given is for you. And you need to take a hold of it. And we need to appreciate that. And one thing about this gospel message in John chapter 8, verse 32, you can know the truth. You can know it. The truth has set you free. This is a lesson which really starts off the meeting on the right foot, because we want people to know what to expect this week. Well, the gospel. Yeah, we want people to learn that it is for them, and that hopefully that they can grow and learn and apply those principles. And it's kind of like this idea of, you know, if you've ever been to a movie theater, you know, you can imagine getting your popcorn, you sit in the movie theater, and you sit down for a minute, and they've got something up there, and you take a bite, and you look, and you notice you're on the screen. Everything you do is on the screen. It's about you. It's about you. It's about me. And that's why this message is good news. And we need to apply it to our lives. And so that's what we hope to do this week. When you bring visitors or invite visitors, and when people come in, we're going to make them feel welcome, because this message isn't just for us. We're not an elite group here that, oh, you can't belong. Or if somebody comes in, oh, because I'm a visitor, I might say to somebody, oh, are you a member of the church here? No, I'm not. Oh, really? I'm not going to do that. We're just really glad to have you. You know, we're actually extra smile for them. You know, we just want to welcome and make them feel welcome. And that's a job that we all have to do this week, right? I tell the brethren at Kirkwood that way. Visitors come in, they feel like a fish out of water. They don't know anybody. You see, you want to make them feel comfortable, not overwhelming. We don't want to smother them, of course. But so look at this. It can't be destroyed. Man, time's flying. I think it's 6 points here. Where is it? 5. Donovan will go like, oh, I know how many points Chuck usually has. Okay. Here we go. What I like about this gospel message, and you're hoping that it can help certain individuals that are really struggling with feeling down in this world. Do you know anybody that's depressed? There's people that really fight depression. I got a phone call this past week. People really fighting depression. People who feel unimportant. People who didn't get enough likes on their birthday on Facebook. We might smile at that, but I'm going to tell you, there are people that I know that got off Facebook because it depressed them. I understand. And so you're hoping that people that will come, you know, they're trying to fill a void. The gospel is the answer, is the point. I don't care how low people are. I don't care how low you are in your life right now. Things could be pretty bad. I lost my job due to COVID, or I've had a health issues, and I've had struggles with family. They come in all shapes and sizes. But one of the great things about the gospel is that it will exist in the darkest places. Imagine back in Genesis chapter 6. Imagine living during this time period. People say, Chuck, you don't know what's going on in this world politically. Well, it says here, the Lord was sorry that he even made man on earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things, and the birds of the air. For I am sorry that I have made them, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. With all this doom and gloom, there was a little bright spot there. Do you know what? I could have the worst day. Chuck, have you ever had worse days? Well, you know, we don't all get up on the right side of the bed sometimes. I've had bad days. Just bad days. And I'll come home, and don't talk to me. But if I walk in the door and she says, hey, what? I've got some good news. Well, that's just what I want to hear. It's amazing. You can have the worst day, and somebody give you some good news, turns things around. You know, if I walked in the door and things are bad, hey, heard some good news. What? Grandkids are coming tomorrow. Yes! Okay, rather get to see them. You know, just a little, it can turn a darkest moment into something bright. And that's what we're wanting people to see. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. With all this doom and gloom that was down there, there was a bright spot. And I'm going to tell you something about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That it exists in the darkest places. Because people who are lost in sin, they can come out of darkness and be put into that marvelous light, which we're admonished to walk in. Read that over in 1 John chapter 1. Walk in that light. But see, that good news is there that we'd already talked about, that it can't be destroyed and that it's for them. I don't care how bad things get in your life. Turn to Philemon. How often do we turn over there? Great book, isn't it? Philemon. Now, what I like about this and how it applies is Paul is in prison. Paul's in prison. And I don't have time to read the whole text, but let's pick it up in verse 8. Paul writes to Philemon. Of course, you guys know that, you know, Onesimus, he runs away, and he, of all things, he goes to Rome and runs into Paul. What are the odds of that? And Paul converts him. And then Paul says, you know, I want you to go back to Philemon. Look, he says in verse 8, therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you, being such as one as Paul, the aged, and now also as a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains. You know, there have been people who have gotten cancer that have taught their nurse. Brethren have told me about that. You know, I can remember when I went and had a procedure done, I think it's been, 3 weeks ago? Maybe a little bit longer. 3 weeks ago. I'm just laying on the gurney. And the lady was there. She was about to put me under. And I just said to her, I said, how many years have you been doing this? She said, 8. And I go, I got you beat. I've been preaching for 41 years. Just threw that out there. Just threw it out there. And she goes, you preach? And I go, yeah. And I said, I want to get this procedure done because I have a Bible class tonight. She goes, you go into people's homes? I go, yeah. She goes, would you come to our home? Yeah, the point is, that wasn't a pleasant procedure that I was going to go through. Okay, I won't get into it. But the point is, you know, it wasn't a bright moment. It wasn't like I got out of bed and go, hey, I get to go have that procedure. I wasn't excited about that. You know, it wasn't the darkest moment in my life. I've had some dark moments. It wasn't the darkest, but my point is this. When she said, I'm going to go to your wife and I'm going to give her my phone number, I mean, I'm just smiling. Well, they had this procedure done, but there was that bright moment because there are people who are showing some interest in wanting to learn the truth. I got a phone call this morning, you know, TV program. You know. I told Deb, I said, I'm always amazed how you got to pry things out of sometimes. You know, I missed a phone call, so I called the guy, or I texted the person back. I said, did you want the Bible course? I get a text back, yes. Address. Name? It's like I got to pry everything out of this person, you know. But I was just tickled to death that he wanted to do that. And so when it comes to the gospel, how can we not get excited about it? And, you know, here's Paul. He's in prison, and he has an opportunity to teach somebody the gospel of Jesus. And things might be tough for you in certain circumstances. But look for those doors to open. Because the gospel can shed light on that moment. It can brighten that day. It can brighten that moment. And that's what we love about it. But let's move on because time is passing quickly. I love the fact that the gospel, you know, we think about all the people out there. We were in a Bible study, Debbie and I, recently with Kathy, a new convert. And she's our age, and she was talking about, you know, I Googled how many Christians, you know, she typed in Church of Christ. She was just curious, how many Churches of Christ and how many Christians are in the world? And she's like, do you know how few that is? If they were all faithful Christians, compared to the rest of the population in this world, it just seemed really, she got teary-eyed in thinking of all the people that were lost. It's sad. But what we're trying to help her to see is, look at, hey, you obeyed the gospel. You know, you get that smile. You know, and then you're having an opportunity to teach other people. But the gospel continues to have victories. 1 Corinthians. And the reason why I'm going to 1 Corinthians is because we know what happened over in Acts chapter 18 and verse 8. In Acts chapter 18 and in verse 8 is when the church at Corinth started. We can read about that. In the 15th chapter, when Paul wrote a letter to these brethren, he said in verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you also stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. You know, it's so encouraging. We were with a gathering of some folks, and you probably know the names. I think the preacher in the Ozarks, but you probably know people like Craig and Sam. They probably ring a bell to you, but I just met them for the first time on Friday night. And they're talking about the church. Is it Oak Grove? It's Oak Grove. And they're saying, you know, that congregation's been there for 200 years. And he talked about the preachers that have come out of there. And you think of the gospel that has gone out everywhere in this world. I know the disciplines. I know where Leslie traveled. And his son preached up in the area up in Toronto, Roy. But the point is, the gospel continues to reach the hearts of individuals who want to obey. It continues to have victories. I get a correspondence. People sign up for correspondence every week. So we're on this almost 70-week run. Every week, people call in. And I get excited about it. And, you know, people say, oh, Chuck, you don't want to make it bigger than it really is. Well, I'm honest with people. I tell them, you know what, to this date of this year, last year we had a total of 150 people. But already to this year, we already have over 100 people that have said, send us the free home Bible correspondence course. Boy, that sounds great, doesn't it? How many people do you think sent back less than number one? A third. How many people sent back less than number two? A lot less than that. And of all the people, how many finished the course? Now we're really getting low. And then of all the people that finished the course, how many people wanted to have a Bible study? And how many people were converted as a direct result from that? Even less. We don't care. Well, we care, but the point is, we plant water. God gives the increase. We get excited about, you know, there's going to be victory this week. There's going to be victory this week. Why? Because we're going to spread the gospel. That's what we're told to do. Now, the response is, that's icing on the cake. That we rejoice over that, right? When you got the prodigal son, somebody comes back, you know, you hug on them. You rejoice when somebody obeys the gospel. But my point is, the gospel continues to have victories. You're growing, right? That's a victory. You're staying faithful to the Lord. That's what he told the brethren at Corinth. You've received that word. You received it. Well, there was a brother there that wasn't doing what's right, right? Remember in chapter 5. But then there's a victory. Get to the second epistle, and that brother repents. And that's wonderful. You see, I get excited about, you know, when people respond to the gospel. You know, this COVID, whatever. I was sharing with Sam and I. We were talking about some people we were studying with, and when they go, well, can I get baptized right now? I says, you know what? When you study with people, if brethren never have studied with people, I don't know what they're missing. You just don't know what you're missing. Because I'm going to tell you, when you get into a Bible, you go, well, I don't want to study because they might ask questions. I remember Sam saying, you know, most people don't ask you questions that don't know. Because they don't know much. But when they do ask you a question you don't know, you just go find the answer. But the point is, you get excited about it. Because it continues to have victories. And there's wisdom. I know I'm getting off topic here. I'm reading over the 2 Corinthians passage, but I want to save time, make sure I have time for this fifth point. But when I think about the responses that are out there, is that people are being converted. They're being pricked in their heart like those in Acts chapter 2. It hasn't changed. And what has been responsible for it? It's been the gospel. It's not the preacher. It's not us. It's not us. What did Paul... I like the way Paul put it. He said over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, how many times have we read this passage in a meeting? And I, brethren, I came to you not with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You know, I don't know if anybody said that's seen the TV program, but I've had other people who are doing similar TV programs that are really high-end stuff. And they say, Chuck, don't take offense to this, but I think your TV program is more like Raw. I don't know what they meant. But you didn't care. Because you know what? The point is, just get the message out. Let the gospel do its job. That's what we're supposed to do. We're not coming with excellency of speech. You know, I get a little nervous when somebody comes up and says, oh, you got to hear this preacher, man. He's great. Oh, he's awesome. He's awesome. Man, he's just so funny. And the stories he tells. And he's just so articulate. It's so, you know what I mean? But the point is, when you're not emphasizing this, we're in trouble. Because the gospel's the good news. The gospel is the good news. And it's what produces the victories. And that's why you see people responding to the gospel. When you think of Philip with the Ethiopian, when he says, there's water in Acts chapter 8, what hinders me? What prompted him to say that? Was Philip that great of a teacher? I mean, was he awesome? Or just, guy had a Bible question, gave him a Bible answer. That's what you do. If you have a Bible question, give him a Bible answer. And here's a person that's listening to the Bible, the gospel message, and he's thinking for himself, and he's saying, well, there's water, what hinders me? And then we saw the victory, didn't we? We saw the victory. But there was victory even before that. The victory is the fact that the message was there for them to listen. And so, it isn't so much about the results. And I've always told brethren that. We started... You know, Lynn did that over in Lincoln. That's how long we've known them, when they started to work there. And when we started works in Toronto and in Newburgh, we would tell the brethren, look, don't get caught up in numbers. Don't get caught up in that. Just focus on doing what God wants us to do, because the victories will come. The victories are there. All right. We got enough time for this one. And here's the cool thing. When I see what's happening here, In Acts chapter 2. But now we're going to go there for a reason, because we're going to go Acts 2 and then we're going to make reference to the Acts 8 passage. But in Acts chapter 2, when it comes to the good news, when it comes to the gospel, brethren, I'm looking out here in the audience. Some of you have been Christians for a long time, right? I mean, there might be some newer Christians, younger in the faith. But I'm telling you, I remember my first sermons. Young teenager, well, I don't say young, I mean, well, 17, 18 is young. But there'd be Mary Harrison there. She's upper 80s, and I'm preaching the most simple lesson. I've got my first sermon on a cassette, if you know what that is. It's embarrassing to listen to. But simple, simple. Turn in your Bibles and you hear me going like this. I can't get there right away. Open your Bibles. I look down, there's a tear coming down her face. It's the gospel message. And to her, it's like it keeps getting better and better. In Acts chapter 2, remember, they were pricked in their heart. And it said that those that gladly received the word were baptized. Remember talking about at one moment, things are doing. I can't help but think right now. And it kind of ties up to maybe point number 3. Do you remember the thief on the cross? Remember the thief on the cross? Would that be a low moment in your life when you're being crucified? When you're suffering in pain? Yeah, that's a pretty low point. Yeah, I don't think you can get much lower than that. And then you lean over and you say, Lord, remember me in your kingdom. And he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Now, I'm sure he couldn't take down his hand and go, yes, you know. But I'm sure to hear those words, today you'll be with me in paradise. You talk about good news at a very dark moment in your life. And that's what, but see, as bad as things are there for him, now that's a little contrast because we're not in that situation. But he could say, boy, things are going to get a whole lot better for me. And that's true. But even for us, when it comes to the gospel, it gets better. It gets better and better. Because when we're talking about here, those that gladly received the word, what would happen? That's what I love about being part of the body of Christ. If you don't see this as genuine, you know, we could say, this is good news. Don't you love it when somebody says, I've got some good news, and they tell it to you, and then they go this. Then they say, but that's not all. And then they give you some more, and you go, wow. And they go, but that's not all. There's more? There's more to come. Look what happens. So they obey the gospel, right? Look at verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Boy, you talk about a bonus. You become a Christian. What? I get to go and be with other Christians and worship God? Awesome! We go, hey, that's not the end of it. Fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done to the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods. Wait a minute. I mean, I'm a part of a family that will care for me? Yeah! You got brothers and sisters. You're having a rough time. The church take care of you. That's what family does. They look out for you. Brethren, here we're sacrificing. Who would do that? Well, you need to understand that, you know, when it comes to the gospel and it being good news, it isn't just you come up out of the waters of baptism, we're done, see you later. It's just the beginning. And people learn that it gets better and better. And people building relationships. You know, Debbie and I were studying with Kathy on Mondays. We're going to study with her tomorrow. And in a short period of time, she talks about how much she loves the brethren. You know, that's what's supposed to happen. You're supposed to build that up and get stronger and get more comfortable and realize the benefits of being with one another. So verse 45, and continue on. They divided them among anyone who had need. So they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking of bread from house to house, and they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Now I know I can't spend all my time with my brothers and sisters, because we have to spend time with the lost. We want to reach them, right? But I'm going to tell you something. Spending time with my brethren, it's that little taste of heaven. You know, if people don't enjoy being with their brothers and sisters, I'm thinking, well, you want to go to heaven? You're going to be with them. You'd have to be with them for eternity. But I'm going to tell you something. If you don't want to be with your brethren now, you don't have to worry about it. Because you won't be with them. The point is, brethren, brothers and sisters, the family of God, we come together. I love that phrase over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17 and 18, right? Paul wrote there, he said, when you come together as a church. Now, he says they were coming together not for the better, but for the worse. But when we come together for the better, yeah, it gets better and better. And this is why we had joy in our hearts of preparing, of driving to come here today. It wasn't an inconvenience. We long for this because that's what the gospel does for us as we continue to feed on it. And then, I've got time for this one because I made reference to it earlier. 1 John 1. Because in 1 John 1, listen to the concept of the bond. And I love this word, fellowship, here. This isn't Webster's. Webster's fellowship, you know, you get together and just play ball and they'll call it fellowship. But on a spiritual level, we have something special. And he mentions in verse 3 that that which we have seen and heard and declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we do not practice the truth. Look at verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. How did you know about that, folks? That's the gospel. The gospel isn't just the death, burial, and resurrection. The gospel is also called the word of truth, the doctrine of Christ. It is good. It's all good news. See, well, what about when I'm being corrected? That's good. That's good. Being warned about certain things, that's good. We're at a party on Friday night. I reached down to grab this dog that was in this crock pot. It was wrapped in foil. I went like that, and my hand touched the side. Wow, was it hot in there. I ripped my hand out of there. Aren't you glad you have these things in here that tell you that something's burnt that would hurt you? That was good. That was good that it just didn't sit there and, what's that smell? I'm glad it didn't do that. And so for you and I, we can be thankful that we are being warned. When Lynn gets up here and warns about the dangers that are out there, Lord willing, we'll talk about that in tonight's PM sermon. Because people are always looking for signs. Is there a sign? Well, you know what? The Bible gives us some clear signs of departure. Of people that have left, are there signs, indications I can look for? Am I departing from the Lord? That's what we're going to talk about in the PM sermon. Anyways, looks like our time is gone this morning. Let's get excited, be happy about the good news that we have been given, that we can share with other people, and that we can continue to feed on and grow and get excited about. So I'm going to thank you for your kind attention this morning, and now we'll take a few minutes to get ready for worship.